Well, hello there, and welcome to the County Conversation, a podcast featuring employees and subject matter experts in the Fairfax County government discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person, and today on this edition of The Conversation, I'm chatting with Carla Bruce about gains, gaps, and goals, the status of women in Fairfax County, and the findings from the Women and Girls Research that was commissioned by the Department of Family Services. Carla, thanks for being here with us on the podcast today.
Thanks so much for having me.
My understanding is that you were on the original work group that got this research going, commissioned this research on women, gaps, and goals in Fairfax County. Tell me about that.
Sure. So my role in the county government is I'm the county's chief equity officer.
Right.
And responsible for overseeing our implementation of our One Fairfax racial and social equity policy. And so one of the groups that we ask, how are you doing, is by gender. And so we did not have a good analysis of how women and girls were doing in Fairfax County. It was brought to our attention by a group of committed community leaders representing the commission to end, I forget what it's called.
We all have memory lapses sometimes.
Yeah, CEDAW. The initials are CEDAW, C-E-D-A-W. And they were very interested in the county's answering the question, how are women and girls doing?
Okay.
And so before we could take action on what we were going to do to address the situation for women and girls in Fairfax County, it was important that we know how women and girls are doing.
Right,
and so
right.
We convened a group of county subject matter experts representing a range of fields, health, economics, just general well-being, to look at our own county data and to see what questions we could answer from that, and then to look at population level data. And that is sort of the foundation of our report.
You mentioned you were the chief equity officer. I was going to get to that later in the program, but since you brought it up, this does seem to fit right in with Fairfax County's One Fairfax policy.
Yes.
So, yeah. Tell me a little bit about One Fairfax and how this initiative, GAPS, Goals, Women in Fairfax County kind of tie together. I mean, it seems on surface it fits well, but am I getting it right?
Right, absolutely. So our One Fairfax policy was adopted by our Board of Supervisors in November of 2017, and it basically commits the county to consider equity in all of our planning and decision making. And when we say equity, what we mean is that you should not be able to predict how a population or how a place is doing by characteristic, right? By race, by age, by gender, right? We really firmly believe that everyone living in Fairfax County should have access to the opportunities in order for them to be able to thrive. And so our racial and social equity policy covers race, and it covers a number of other social characteristics, one of which is gender. And so this, of course, looking at the situation of women and girls in Fairfax County, aligns within our One Fairfax policy.
Right. So again, just to remind you, we're talking about the recently commissioned study and results, gains, gaps, and goals, the status of women in Fairfax County. Fairfax County did partner with the Commission for Women as well as the University of Virginia to complete the study. Tell me a little bit about the logistics of that, working with the Commission and the University. How did that come about? And was everybody like an equal player in this?
Right. So one thing about the Commission for Women, so as you know, our Board of Supervisors has a number of boards, authorities, and commissions focused on a number of different topics. And in population groups. And so our Commission for Women has been on the forefront of really representing the interests of women and girls in Fairfax County, asking questions about how women and girls are doing. And so it only made sense that they would be a champion for the completion of this study. We then had to find a partner to work with who could do the type of analysis that we thought was important. So our study is a qualitative analysis, meaning that we are using data that is at a population level, generally from the census and from health records and economic records, and that they could look at that data in as best as they could, a disaggregated way, disaggregated by population, meaning they being able to disaggregate it by age, by race and ethnicity, but also disaggregated by place. Because as we know in Fairfax County, depending on where you are, there could be, it's a huge county, and there's just different conditions depending on where you are in the county. So we wanted to sort of put a spatial context to the data. And so we searched for a partner and found with the University of Virginia's Biocomplexity Institute, a partner who had that ability to look at qualitative data in that way. And then was also very committed to engaging the voice of the population in the study. So an aspect of the study was actually talking to groups of women and girls to look at the data and give their own life experience and perspectives.
So like what, focus groups or individual interviews? Tell me about that part of the process.
Yeah, well, we came to find out that, focus groups are a very technical method. So what we called them were community conversations. Okay. We had a number of community conversations with different groups supported by the Commission for Women in terms of how we engaged people in the community. But those community conversations were not as rigorous as focus groups, but I think provided really good insights.
Better results, maybe.
Probably, right. Yeah. Because, again, they were conversations that followed a set of questions, but they gave the latitude for people to really express what their situation was and the conditions they face in Fairfax County.
All right. Just words, but, that's the way I feel about this podcast. I always call it a conversation. It's not an interview. For me, it feels like it's more personal. So
right.
I don't have scripted questions. It's kind of the way we roll.
And I think that's what happened with these, the community for conversations. It allowed for us to sort of go off script as necessary.
And go down that rabbit hole.
And go down the rabbit hole and follow the direction, of the conversation as opposed to staying, aligned to particular questions.
Right. Got so much time. I've got to cover these 10 topics. And
that's right.
What it is. All right. So the study itself, University of Virginia did these conversations with stakeholders, data-informed qualitative study. But there were like three key indicator groups, economic, health, and work-life balance. Were those three predetermined going into it, or did that come out of the conversations that these were three areas that we should focus on?
So the initial staff group that looked at our own county data initially identified some topics that we thought were important if we were going to seek additional information on how women and girls were doing. And then we worked with our research partners to, collect data in different areas. And as they collected data in different areas, it was these three topics, I think, that emerged as ones that I think really represented. Really, if the question is how are women and girls doing, that these particular indicator areas gave a good representation of are women and girls able to meet their basic living expenses? Are women and girls able? Are they healthy and have good well-being? Are women and girls sort of leading their lives in ways that lead to their success? And I think that those three categories really, and again, I would say for probably most categories, most populations that we would look at, that those three categories would probably be a good representation.
Right. Yeah, kind of makes sense. We'll do a deep dive into these three areas, but I want to backtrack for just a minute. I wonder, like, the timeline for all this. We talked about you were early involved in forming this effort. I can't remember if you said when, but how long has this process been going on from kind of, hey, light bulb moments would be a great idea and final product, which I think was what, March of this year?
So it was roughly about a year and a few months.
Wow.
Maybe. Yeah.
That sounds pretty quick.
It was pretty quick, actually. It was, like I said, there was a community group initially that approached the county that expressed interest in the county expressing its intentions around the success of women and girls. And so our step was, let's look and figure out how women and girls are doing. And that was communicated through a board matter that was put forward by Supervisor Kathy Smith of the Sully District and Supervisor Dahlia Palchik of the Providence District. I believe it was Women's History Month 2023 when they put forth their board matter. And then from there, we began to have our conversations about sort of how we're going to approach this, these questions and do the internal work as well as the work with the partner.
Okay.
So I believe it was a year, a little over which, but, yeah, it seems like it went by very quickly from the time that we began these conversations to the time the actual research was conducted.
Yeah.
I actually think maybe now that I think about it, it could have been possibly 2 years now that I think about it, because it took a year of our about a year from our initial work to sort of, you know, do our initial work with the community that we engaged with, and then our subject matter expertise work, and then about a year from the inception of our research project with UVA.
Yeah. Still, I mean, 2 years from light bulb moment to finished product, and obviously the work is still going to continue going.
Exactly.
But, you know, that says a lot about the speed at which Fairfax County government moves able to get that, something done.
Absolutely.
That
and again, and also to recognize that this was something that we had to engage our community around. And so I think putting in the time to do it in a way that allowed for us to partner and allowed for us to actually engage members of the community, and to do that all in that amount of time, I think is remarkable.
We're on the County Conversation and chatting with Carla Bruce. She is Fairfax County's Chief Equity Officer. We're talking about gains, gaps, and goals, the status of women in Fairfax County. We touched a minute ago, Carla, on the three key indicators of the study: economics, health, and work-life balance. If we can, let's dive into each one specifically. First of all, economics, that broad category. What does that mean, and are there any study findings, recommendations that you can share with us on that segment, that economics?
Yeah, so I think generally speaking, that category really references people's income, people's wealth, and basically people's ability to have, you know, the resources necessary to support themselves, to support their lives, and to live well in Fairfax County. I think the most significant data point that we saw is that there's an obvious wage gap, a wage gap between men and women. And in particular, with female-headed households, they're more likely to be economically vulnerable. As I mentioned, you know, this data, there were differences once you looked at it by race, ethnicity, or you looked at it by place. And one of the data points that we found most interesting, and actually did a little bit deeper analysis around, was that girls who are in public school and are girls of color are more likely than boys, and more likely than their white counterparts, so white girls, to work 3 or more hours on any given school day. And so again, I think our ability not just to look at the data, but look at it in a disaggregated way was really important and allowed us to sort of raise up some trends that I think will allow us to better understand sort of, you know, the conditions and the situations that different individuals and families are in.
Now, the wage gap issue is not just a Fairfax County issue. That's a broad nationwide issue.
Right.
But it sounds like Fairfax County, with the study, you're able to,
validate that it's an issue here. And again, one of the things that it was important for us to do is to realize is that a lot of this wasn't new information,
right?
But it did validate that it was happening in Fairfax County, and it gave us a sense of what the problem looks like in Fairfax County. One of the things, especially that came out through our community conversations, is that it's just frankly expensive to live in Fairfax County.
Right.
And so people will, you know, take multiple jobs in order to live in Fairfax County, which then creates, getting to the other indicators that we looked at, health issues, work-life balance issues. And so these indicators, you know, while they gave us great insight about each of them, there was also a real interrelationship between them. One of the other things that we found as when we looked at the economic indicators is this idea that, you know, when you're in a certain profession, you have certain opportunities, right? And so we often think of sort of white collar versus blue collar jobs. And so the types of jobs that are available to women in certain areas of the county varies, right? So in certain areas of the county, there are more white collar jobs available. In other areas of the county, there are more service oriented or so-called blue collar jobs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, again, place matters, in addition to, sort of some of the other, factors that you might think of when you think about how are people doing economically.
Right. All right. You had mentioned all these factors kind of seemingly interrelated and are, you know, kind of commingled together, if you will. So let's move over to the health area, the key indicator of health. Any surprises there in the findings?
Well, again, a lot of it wasn't. It sort of confirmed some of the hunches that we already had. But as I mentioned, there's this real intersection between between the indicators. So economically vulnerable women are also women who have higher rates of chronic health conditions. And so that could be, you know, heart disease or high blood pressure, but that also related to their mental health status. So again, how you're doing economically really does drive how you're doing across a number of different indicators.
All right. I want to make sure we have enough time to cover all of them. So we can come back to health if we need to. But I think that also leads very well into work-life balance, because if you're worrying about money and you're working a couple of jobs and you've got health issues, obviously that's going to affect work-life balance. So talk to me a little bit about that area.
Well, I mean, this was really important, particularly for women, and this notion of, you know, the situation for working mothers. Mm-hmm. And so one of the key data points that we found interesting were the people's reliance on childcare in the different forms that childcare takes. So one, childcare in this region is expensive, which again, when you connect it back to people's economic situation, you can understand how expensive it is to live in Fairfax County. And so women find different scenarios in order to take care of their children. And again, disaggregating by race and ethnicity, we found that Asian and Hispanic women are more likely to live in multi-generational households, right? And so by living in a multi-generational household, you find a situation where women are taking care of their own children and also supporting older adults in their lives. Sometimes those older adults are playing childcare roles to the young children.
Right.
So it really, the data really helped us to gain an understanding, in again, further explained by some of the community conversations that we had about the ways in which families are structured and people are structuring their lives in order to find success in Fairfax County.
I know we've said, and you've said repeatedly, that there weren't a whole lot of new findings. It was all kind of validation. Is there, and I put you on the spot, is there one thing, maybe a couple of things, that really stood out at you when you saw the findings of the study?
So, I think that not thinking of women, girls in a sort of monolithic way. Hmm. I think, you know, we talk about race and ethnicity mattering, and we talk about place mattering. And this study just really drove home that, you know, women and girls of different races and ethnicities and who live in different environments and have different access to resources and opportunities, you see that reflected in their outcomes. You see that reflected in their economic outcomes. You see that reflected in their health outcomes. You see that reflected in their work-life balance outcomes. And so it just, I think, underscores for me the importance of our county's focus on ensuring that all people are able to thrive, and that we're taking the time to better understand situations and conditions so that we can tailor and target our strategies to really meet the needs that people are presenting with. And so, no one particular data point, but just the idea you know, we talked about it, and it's reflected in our study as intersectionality, right? Mm. So people have multiple identities. You know, you're not just a woman, right?
Right.
You're a woman of a certain age, of a certain race and ethnicity, and all of that matters in terms of how you're doing. And so, you know, it's really important that we look at data and listen to the voices of the people in our community to get a sense and an understanding of how they're doing, and then use that information to inform our policy and our practice.
Great, great segue into my last question. How will this information be used to impact policy and programs, et cetera, going forward?
So the data was released through an event a couple of weeks ago. It is now available on our county website. If you go to fairfaxcounty.gov and search women and girls, you can see the data. And so it's going to be very useful to our departments as they do their plans and think about sort of the populations that they serve. We want our partners to make use of this. We want whether that's our health partners locally, our higher education partners, our FCPS partners. And so we are making intentional efforts to share the data with all of the institutions in Fairfax County that we work closely with to create the community that we have. But we think of this data as a baseline. Mm-hmm. This is how women and girls are doing in March of 2024.
Right.
Let's see how we can make differences in a positive way and look at this data again down the road. And so what we're talking about is, if this is the baseline, when will be the next time that we will conduct this study, and what differences might we see? Are there other questions we might want to pose based right. on some of the initial feedback that we've received from our community members and partners?
So, what, 5-10 years? I mean, is that a good time frame to get enough results?
Because we relied on census data, and I think a 10-year time frame would probably make sense.
Right.
We will probably do some smaller level studies, dig a little deeper
right.
into some of the questions that we raised, but I think generally speaking, I think a good 10-year time frame
yeah.
would be good. And I also think that this is a good way of, this is the first time since the adoption of the One Fairfax policy that we did a real population level study and looked at it in an intersectional way. And I think that there are other populations that we might want to look at. We did do a study on older adults in our community. Previously, so I think the combination of those two populations, are there other populations that we want to know more
right,
about
right.
so that we can be more informed in our strategy?
Okay. So again, just go to fairfaxcounty.gov and you can search women and girls, or search gains, gaps, and goals. I think all of that searching will get you to the right place. The URL is just too long to tell you about and for you to be able to write down, but just go to fairfaxcounty.gov and you can find it. You can also find the video on that page, is also on the Fairfax County's YouTube page. The actual presentation from March is on the county's YouTube page as well as that page. I always try to give the guest the final word. Anything I didn't ask, anything you want to make sure we know going away in the final 30 seconds?
I would just say that while this data has been tremendously informative, there are some real bright spots, right? So there are things that the county is doing currently that I think really indicate that we are trying to respond to the different situations and conditions in our community. We've expanded our language access program so that we can have more communication with folks who may speak languages other than English. We've done a number of things at a neighborhood level to, you know, build relationships with people in the communities where they live to get a better sense of the conditions,
right.
and specifically our Opportunity Neighborhood Program. We're implementing an economic mobility pilot that's really focused on supporting people's ability to move up the ladder of success. So this data gives us a good sense of where we are. We're doing some things that I think will be beneficial to women and beneficial to other populations in the county. So I'm very encouraged and, again, look forward to seeing progress from this baseline that we've established.
Well, and you've also given us several topic ideas for future conversation. So thank you for that. Thank you for being here, Carla. I appreciate the information today.
Again, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks to Carla Bruce for being here with us. Thanks to you for listening. If you want to get more Fairfax County news, just go to fairfaxcounty.gov/news, or you can call 703-FAIRFAX. That's 703-324-7329. That is weekdays between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Thanks again for joining us on the County Conversation podcast, which is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.